At this time, I'd ask you to please stand and open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs this morning with me, the book of Proverbs. We're jumping off in Proverbs chapter 21, looking at one verse, and we're going to jump off from there. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 4. Proverbs 21, chapter 21, verse 4, and this is what the Bible says. In high look, in a proud heart, in the plowing of the wicked is sin. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the good old King James Bible. I praise you for the way you've preserved your word without error. Lord, we just pray now as your word goes forth today, Lord, that if there'd be a lost soul watching on the video or someone here today, that they would can be convicted in their hearts to come forward and receive Jesus Christ and pray and receive him into their heart today. Lord, we just pray for the saints of God that we'd be encouraged, endure, give us endurance to go on for you, to serve you. Help us to claim the communities of Billericay and Wilmington and Lowell and Tewksbury and all of the communities around us for thee, Lord. Help us to be a light in this dark world, Lord. Help us to be salt in this world, Lord, for thee. Lord, we'll remember to give you all the honor and all the glory for whatever you choose to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In our opening verse this morning, the Bible tells us that a proud heart is sin. The Bible is very clear about the sin of a proud heart or pride and the result of the sin of pride. Proverbs 11:2 tells us, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. So we see shame as a result of pride. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction is a result of pride in one's life. The Bible tells us about the behavior of a person with a proud heart. Proverbs 28:25, it says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. This tells us that the root cause for a person stirring up strife is pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. This tells us the cause of contention or conflict or discord is pride. Psalm 119 verse 21 says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. The Bible tells the proud are rebuked and are cursed because they deviate from the word of God. You know why there are so many perversions of the word of God today? It's because man is proud. Man is proud. So we see pride causes man to change the word of God. What does God think about the sin of pride? Proverbs 6 verses 16 through 17 tells us, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. We see that a proud look of pride is number one on God's hate list this morning. The Bible is very clear in God's dealing with the proud. James chapter 4 verse 6 tells us, God resisteth the proud, but giveth peace unto the humble. Proverbs 15:25 tells us, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Isaiah 2 verse 12 tells us, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. The Bible tells the end of the way of the proud is destruction, both physically and, more importantly, spiritually. Positionally, spiritually, the saved, when they die, are exalted because they physically are brought up or go up to heaven. While the wicked, the proud, the unsaved, when they die, are humbled or brought low because they go down into hell. We know that Jesus, when he first came, the first time, was the example of the opposite of pride. He was humility from head to toe. He was a servant. He came to seek and save that which was lost. If Jesus was the example of humility, who do you think is the example of pride? Who do you think is the example of pride? Why, Satan, of course. First John chapter 2, verse 16 tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see from the verse that pride is of this world. And who is the god of this world? Satan. So pride comes from Satan. In fact, it was because of pride that Satan was cast down from the throne room of God in heaven to earth and eventually will be cast into the lake of fire. Turn to Ezekiel 28 with me, if you would, this morning. Ezekiel, the major prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28. In verse 14, Ezekiel 28, verse 14, tells us of Satan's position before he was cast down. Now listen, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I, referring to God, have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This verse tells us that Satan at one time was placed by God in a very honored and important position. Satan was the anointed cherub who was in the most holy of holies in the throne room of God in the third heaven. He covered the mercy seat in the most holy of holies. Also, it looks like he pretty much did have the run of the place, because we are told in Ezekiel 28:14, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. If you look at Ezekiel 28:15, we are told something of Satan's behavior before his fall. It tells us, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. We see from verse 15 that Satan was created from his creation up, and from his creation up until the day, till a certain point, he was perfect. He was perfect in his ways. But we know that the only person who is perfect and without sin is God. So at some point in time, Satan came short of the glory of God. He sinned like all of us, because we are told in verse 15, till iniquity was found in thee. But what did Satan do when iniquity was found in him? Did he ask God for mercy and forgiveness? No, Satan felt that he was too good for that. Instead of humbling himself before God and asking for God's mercy and forgiveness, we are told in Ezekiel 28, verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Satan did the complete opposite of humbling himself before God. He exalted himself before God. He justified himself before God. He lifted his heart up before God. A lifted heart or a proud heart is just another way of saying a person is full of pride or a prideful. When Satan lifted his heart up before God, he justified himself and condemned God. That is the same thing a person does when he rejects the gospel. Therefore, refuses to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We are told in Ezekiel 28:17 why Satan's heart was lifted up. It says, because of thy beauty. Satan lifted up his heart because of his beauty. If we examine Ezekiel 28:13, we will see that Satan was indeed beautiful to look at. Let's read the description there. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. We also see he was beautiful to look at. He was covered with all these beautiful, precious stones and metals. We also were told that he had musical ability also, because it tells us the workmanship of thy tabrets, which are drums, of thy pipes, was prepared in the day of that thou wast created. We have drums, we have pipes, different musical instruments have pipes, organs, so forth and so on. So let us summarize Satan before his fall. He was perfect in his ways. He was probably a very moral character. He was good looking by the description of all the precious stones. And he was talented. He had musical abilities. By worldly standards, he had everything going for him. he probably received a lot of compliments every day about himself. So we can see from his fall, he probably developed a false image of himself. I'm perfect. I live a good life. I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I am talented. Then after a while, when iniquity was found in him, his self-image was attacked. That false facade had been challenged. So let us see what happened. Let's turn over to the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 14 gives us the description of what happened to Satan. Isaiah 14, we're going to read in verses 11 through 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11, I'll read. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vowels, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. He says in 14, Satan says, Satan rebelled against God and says, God, I do not need you. Because he says in Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. We see Satan gets full of pride and exalts himself over God and appoints himself as God. When you want to detect if a person is full of pride, notice how many times he uses the personal pronoun I did this, I did this, I did that. Please notice in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, how many times Satan uses the personal pronoun I. Verse 13, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit. And verse 14, I will ascend, I will be. Notice in Isaiah 14, 13, where Satan said all of this, in thine heart. He said it in his heart. This is very important because God allows us to see the motivation of Satan, which is one of self-exaltation. God allows us to see the heart of Satan. The heart is the place where we can know for sure what motivates a person to do something. We know the Bible tells us that only God, he searches the heart and tries the reins. But in this case, God exposes Satan's heart to us to show us beyond a shadow of a doubt Satan's motivation was one of self-exaltation, to glorify self, and his sin was the sin of pride. Pride causes us to lift up our hearts. Remember, it's all right to have a lifted up heart because of praise for God, for rejoicing, for joy in serving the Lord. It's all right to have a lifted heart if God is the source of the lifting, and the motivation is Christ, the center of your life. It's wrong to have a lifted heart if the source is other than God and the motivation is to glorify self or exalt self. Pride is destructive because it gives a person a false sense of security, of independence from God, and controls and feels like you control over your environment. Pride is a tool of Satan to keep people from getting saved and keeping Christians from serving and walking with God. This morning, we will examine some of the forms of pride and how the life and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are a standing rebuke to every form of pride to which we are subject to. This list is not exhaustive. We will just cover quickly a few of these forms of pride. The first one we want to look at this morning is the pride of birth and rank. The pride of birth and rank. People have a proud or lifted heart because of the family they were born into and the position or rank they hold because of their family they were born into. An example of this, a good example of rank or position as a result of birth, would be the Queen or King of England. They don't do anything. They're just born into the family and they take on this rank solely based on birth. The Pharisees had pride of birth and rank. They were trusting in the fact that they were the physical seed of Abraham to save them from God's wrath to come. People do the same thing today when they trust in being born into a family of a particular religion. to save them or to get them into heaven. The Bible is very clear. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. Peter, the apostle, tells us in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be named. One way, one name. That way and that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Lord Jesus Christ was a rebuke. It was a rebuke to the pride of birth and rank, because we are told in Luke 2:7 that Jesus had a humble birth, did he not? Jesus was born in a manger. They did not wrap him in any expensive cloth or robe. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which pictured his death. That's what they wrapped the dead in back then, swaddling clothes or linen cloths. We see where Jesus looked down. We see where the Jews looked down on Jesus because of his birth and rank. When Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, the Jews were astonished at his knowledge of the scripture. They said in Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? Referring to Joseph, who was a carpenter by trade. They couldn't figure it out. Here's a carpenter's son, knowing the knowledge of the scripture. They couldn't figure it out. It was a rebuke to their pride, to their knowledge, to what they knew. They were amazed, how could a son of a carpenter be so learned of the things of God? To the Jews, for anyone to have any kind of credibility, the person had to be born into a family or position. But God doesn't operate that way, does he? He uses the weak. He uses the little things to confound the wisdom of the world. I think I'm confounding to a lot of people that I'm up here. I'm nothing to look at. I'm a middle-aged, well, not middle-aged, but I'm getting up there. I have no hair on the top of my head. I'm nothing attractive to look at. But God chooses to use the weak and the little things of the world. And I am glad that I'm weak, and I'm glad that I'm little this morning. Another form of pride we want to look at is people have a proud heart because of their wealth. They feel independent because of their wealth. Money, home, whatever it may be. What does Jesus say about the Bible tells us about his wealth when he came the first time? In Matthew 8:20 we are told, he tells us, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have an earthly home. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He did not have wealth. Let's turn over to Matthew 6 with me this morning. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other, either God or money. God or money. The choice is yours. In that same chapter of Matthew, it says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You got problems, you got bills to be paid, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He'll take care of you. Wealth can also give us the eye syndrome. The man's wealth can also give us the eye syndrome. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke this morning. I want you to show you that in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. We get the eye syndrome when we get money, when we get wealth, when we're rich, and we don't thank God for who gave it to us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, notice, he said, because I have no room. Then he says, and he said, this will I do. There's another I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow my fruits. My fruits, again, a personal pronoun, my goods. I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. And it tells us, dropping down to verse 34, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we see with this certain rich man, I and my all the time. I did it, I did it, I did it. It's my way, you know, I did it all. God didn't have nothing to do with it. This is what happens sometimes when people become wealthy. There's nothing wrong with money. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy and see what it says about money. There's nothing wrong with money itself. Let's see what the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. How did you come into this world? Did you come in clothed? You had nothing on you when you came in. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. There's no truth of the rumor they're building caskets with pockets on the side so you can take it with you. Because you're not taking anything with you as you go out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love, listen to this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. So we see it's not money itself, it's the love of money. The love of money, that is the root of all evil. Let's turn on to the next form of pride that the Lord Jesus rebukes. People get puffed up a lot of times because of the personal appearance, the way they look. Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 2 tells us this morning about Jesus' personal appearance. It tells us, He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. In other words, Jesus was not attractive looking. He was ordinary looking. People were not to be drawn to him because of his personal appearance. A lot of times, we will not even talk to another person because of the way they look. Because either they're fat or ugly or they have some kind of deformity. This is wrong. This is wrong because God is not a respecter of persons. He wants everyone to get saved. He looks at a person's soul, not their physical vessel or shell. Our society today places a great deal of emphasis on how a person looks too. To confirm these facts, all you have to go is to your local supermarket and look at the racks. That's all it is. It's beauties, beauties, beauties. People, the way they look. Or put on the boob tube. We have an industry in this country called the movie industry, which has its headquarters in Hollywood, in the city of Los Angeles, which promotes the stars. Stars are angels. We also have fallen angels. This industry is built nothing but on greed, pride, vanity, conceit, lust, etc. Further, we have a cosmetic industry that promotes so many different creams that promise to get rid of all your wrinkles. They ought not only do not get rid of any of your wrinkles, but they also put a wrinkle in your pocketbook because they cost a lot of money. How about liposuction, where they just literally suck fat out of people? How many people have died as a result of that surgery? How about the billions and billions of dollars that are spent in the plastic surgery industry? Just so someone can have a nose like a movie star. Why? What for? Because of pride. So I can be one of the beautiful people. So the pride of personal appearance can become an obstacle or an idol in our lives. It can become an obsession. It can keep us from getting saved and serving God. Before I move on to my next point, I'd like to share a little story by C.E. McCartney that sort of addresses this. It's called The Sin of Imagination Instead. After a minister had preached a searching sermon on pride, a woman who had heard the sermon waited upon him and told him that she was in much distress of mind and that she would like to confess to a great sin. The minister asked her what the sin was. She answered, "The sin of pride, for I sat for an hour before my mirror some days ago admiring my beauty." "Oh," responded the minister, "that was not the sin of pride, that was the sin of imagination." Amen. Let's move on to our next point this morning. The pride of reputation, the pride of reputation. Jesus was a rebuke to this form of pride because it was said of Jesus in Matthew 11:19, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibbler, a friend of publicans and sinners." You see, the religious crowd in Jesus' day got on his case and gave him a hard time for hanging around with the wrong crowd. Jesus did not hang around with the religious crowd, you know. People who had all the outside trappings of living a religious life, who were, as he described them in Matthew 23:27, Jesus said, "For you liken unto a whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanliness." Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to heal those who were in need of a physician. Jesus came to save the religious crowd, but they rejected him. They didn't want any part of him because of the pride of their reputation. After all, they were scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees. They did not want any part of a man who reached out to the publican and the sinner. That was beneath them. Today, people are held back from getting saved because it may ruin their reputation. They do not want to be associated with that born-again fanatics. Or, "I don't need to get saved. I'm so-and-so. I'm on a muckety-muck. I'm president or so-and-so. Or I'm this and that." Also, the pride of reputation can keep a Christian from serving God. For example, the pride of reputation may hold a person back from going out on visitation. "You want me to go where? That place is full of cockroaches. They'll eat me alive. I wouldn't be caught dead in a place like that. You want me to go to a prison and visit who? Or you want me to go out and give a gospel tract? Someone from work may see me. They'll think I'm crazy." See, you don't want to get your reputation ruined. But remember, Jesus did not put any limitation on who we are to witness to. He said, "Go ye. Go ye." Remember, Jesus said in Luke 14:23, "Go out in the highway and hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled." Let me ask you a question. Are you selective on who you're witnessing to, who you give a gospel tract to? Based on reputation, remember what Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Remember the day that you came to Jesus? He did not look at you, who you were, or what you were, or who you were. He accepted you just the way you were. We have to be careful about not to allow the pride of reputation to keep us from even getting saved or serving God. The last form of pride we'll look at this morning is the pride of ability. Jesus rebuked the pride of ability when he said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. I of my own self can do nothing." We see many people dying and going to hell today because of their pride of ability. You see, these folks believe that they can earn their way into heaven based on something they have done, based on their own ability. You've heard the standard lines from these folks. "I'm all set because, you know, fill in the blank, a certain religion. I'm a good person. I haven't done anything wrong. I've been baptized. I belong to a church. I give to the church. I keep the golden rules." You see, like I said earlier, when a person rejects the gospel, he condemns God and justifies himself. These folks are self-righteous. They are counting on their own righteousness to save them. They discount Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." And Romans 3:23, "For of all sin and come short of the glory of God." The key words is none righteous, and all have sinned, every one of us. Not only the drug addict, the harlot, the pusher, the pimp, but the businessman, the housewife, everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs Jesus. Isaiah 64:6 tells us, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are filthy rags." You see, your righteousness are a filthy rags in front of the Lord. The Bible clearly tells us our works or our abilities cannot save us. Listen to Titus 3:5. Tells us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Are you here today or watching at home and believe because something you did or because of your ability will get you into heaven? You are wrong. The Bible says that you're on your way to hell. It's God's mercy that saves you in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His work at Calvary, His shed blood, His death, His burial and resurrection, that's what saves you. You have to believe in your heart by faith. Only Jesus can save you and nothing else. Because the Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, won't you today come forward at a time of invitation and get saved? Tell Jesus it is only Him and nothing else to keep you from hell. Tell Him you deserve hell, but you believe by faith what He did at Calvary, His shed blood and nothing else, saves you. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior today. Christian, the ability, the pride of ability sometimes can put us on an ego trip where we think I saved someone or I did this in the church or I did that. Sometimes we forget it's the Holy Spirit that's driving our motors. It's the Holy Spirit that's the oil in our lamp that makes our light shine. I have told God the only way that this ministry can keep going on is not because of me, but by His power and His strength working through you and me. This morning, we have only skimmed the surface of what the Scripture says about the sin of pride and how Jesus rebuked every form of pride you and I are subject to. We covered only five this morning. We covered the pride of birth and rank, the pride of wealth, the pride of personal appearance, the pride of reputation, and the pride of ability. There are many more forms of pride we are subject to. Pride, the Bible tells us, is a mark that we are in the latter times, the latter days. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be," and it lists all these different things, "and proud." Men will be proud. We are definitely in the latter days. Because the sin of pride is so prevalent, I plead with you this morning, do not let pride keep you from getting saved or from serving God. Do not allow yourself to get caught up by the spirit of this age. Let us stand, please. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Your word is powerful. It's quicker than any two-edged sword, Lord. We pray that, again, if there be a lost soul here this morning, that they'd get saved, they'd come forward this morning and trust Your Son. We pray that saints of God would be encouraged to search the hearts for any kind of pride, even myself, Lord, to search it out and pray to God to remove it and to overcome it, Lord. We just pray now as a church we can go forward serving Thee, serving this community and telling them the good news about Your Son, Jesus Christ. And if they'd only come to Him, if they'd only trust upon Him and nothing else, they'd be heaven-bound with a hammer down. We thank You for whatever You choose to do in this time of invitation, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen.